For he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors will be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore you to the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. Pastor Rocky.
Thank you.
The pulpit is officially yours.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Well, it is wonderful to be here with a new church family. And my wife is my better half. Honestly, she is. People have asked me, how great are you with a computer? Well, ask my wife that question. I'm an old-fashioned preacher that still believes the Word of God has power. I still believe that. Are you ready for the power of the latter rain? I'd like to paint a picture for you of where we are. And please, dear saints, I don't have all the answers. But I know one thing. Christ is coming soon. And I mean soon. How do I know? Look at some of the crazy things here. Laws against, listen to this now, sex changes for minors surge in conservative states. How many of you read about that? This is America? Also, there are so many things happening here that it's going to take a while for me to ferret it all out so that you can understand why I'm sharing the messages I am. I'm sharing these messages because I believe we are at the crossing of the Jordan. I believe it with all my heart, dear saints, that we are at the crossing of the Jordan. Matthew 24 and verse 12 says, the love of many will grow cold, and why? Because iniquity will abound. When you can walk the streets of New York and somebody can slug you or rape a young woman and people pass by, we're at the end of the world. We're at the end of the world. Take your Bible, turn to Zechariah chapter 12, 1. Please turn there with me. Zechariah, just before the book of Malachi. Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Are we living in the time of the latter rain? The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone, food. You're probably going to discern very quickly that I'm not your typical preacher. I am someone who believes Christ is coming soon, and you should know. You should know the facts so that you can weigh them in your own mind. You should know the truth about where we are. How many of you agree with that? Raise your hand if you agree with that. Okay, then I have you with me. My wife is going to follow me. She's the one with the slides. And I'm going to start launching into this, the experiencing the latter rain, the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But first, I begin with a text in John 20, 21 and 22. John 20, 21 and 22. Then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As a Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and sent them out. Breathed upon them what? The Holy Spirit. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You may know anyway, but I want you to know that very few Christians have actually experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about gift in tongues. I'm talking about an infilling of the Holy Spirit where His will is my will. Would you say amen? Let's continue. Exodus chapter 35, 29 to 35. Maybe you should take your Bible and turn there. Exodus 35. Would you turn it with me in your Bible? I want you to catch this. This is the Holy Spirit working in the Old Testament. I was with a Baptist preacher one day, and he said, the Holy Spirit never moved until the New Testament. And I suggested he read these scriptures with me. Exodus 35, and I'm going to start with verse 29 to 35. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has chosen by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. In wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. Verse 34, and he has put in his heart the ability to what? Teach. In him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of engraving, the designer and tapestry maker, in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. Imagine that. I wrote down here a little phrase on this. Aholiab means in the shadow of the Almighty. Bezalel means in the tent of the Master. So we're in the shadow of God. The sanctuary was a shadow of the heavenly sanctuary. Are you with me? So we are living just before Jesus comes. Just before he comes. I mean, is that exciting? Listen to what one author says here. In great controversy. I know I have another scripture for you. My wife looks at me, she knows. Acts 1, 4 through 8. Which? I'm past that. All right? Well, anyway, move ahead to a great controversy, honey. She says, I hope you know where you're going. I will know when I get there, right? Huh? Did I go past it? Well, we're not going to let this stop us, right? We're still on Exodus, huh? It doesn't work. All right, I'm going to read a phrase to you that I want you to catch while I read it. I want you to catch this. It is in a crisis that character is revealed. When the earnest voice proclaimeth at midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And the sleeping virgins were roused from their sleep. It was seen who had made preparation for the event. Both parties were taken unawares, but one was prepared for the emergency and the other was found without preparation. And then she makes this statement. So now, a sudden and unlooked-for calamity, something that brings a soul face to face with death, will show whether or not there is any real faith in the promises of God. Let me paint a picture of where we are. I believe, as Dr. Norman Gulley says in his book, Christ is Coming, if you're going to purchase two books, purchase the book Christ is Coming by Norman Gulley and Last Day Events by Ellen White. What did I just say? Christ is what? Coming. Dr. Gulley says the very next event to take place is the second coming of the Holy Spirit. And if you miss that, you won't be ready for the second coming. If you do not have the early rain, you will never have the latter rain. Are you with me? Okay. Is it? Huh? It isn't working, huh? Oh, it is now. All right, go ahead. All right, honey. Acts 9:48. Turn there. I mean, Acts 2. Have you got it? This is not it. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. You know what this is, right? Which he said, you have heard from me, for the John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, many days. Baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now, we have my shoot. Here it is again. They came together. They asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons. Listen to this now. Which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And then we read great controversy. I want you to catch this. The great work of the gospel will not close with less manifestation of the power of God than marked this beginning. The prophecies which were fulfilled in the outpouring of the former rain at the opening of the gospel are again to be fulfilled in the latter rain at its close. Next statement. Servants of God, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven. By thousands of voices, listen to this. All over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracles will be wrought. The sick will be healed. And signs and wonders will follow the believers. Great controversy, 6:11, 6:12. Let me come back now. Here we are, 2023. I believe we're going to face three things. An overwhelming surprise. We're going to wake up one morning and things are not going to be the same. Another COVID-19. You know, COVID-19 was a test run. How many of you know that? You know that, don't you? If you can take and keep a church out of a group of people out of church for over a year, it's a test run. People were deathly sick. There's no doubt in my mind. And they died. But it was a test run. Well, we can do that. We can shut you down. I love the Adventist Church. This is God's movement of destiny. How many of you say amen to that? This is it. Are we going to go through some struggles? Yes. Yes, we are. The church will be shaken like a reed in the wind. I have a sermon I'm planning. I'm working on it now. And at the end of October, I'm going to preach it, the shaking and the sifting. I want you to hear these things. Every Seventh-day Adventist ought to know what's happening. Let's move into this study on the Holy Spirit now. The role of the Holy Spirit at the end of the world. I'm going to give you six things. If you have a sheet of paper, I'll give you a moment so you can write them down. Six things the Holy Spirit does. Now, I give sermon notes. How many of you would appreciate having sermon notes that you could write in? All right, I'll make sure we do that the next time. All right, the role of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit supposed to do? What is he doing? Number one, he speaks to us from Christ. John 14:26. I want you to listen to this scripture. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. If you've fallen away and you think you're beyond the reach of God, God is going to say to you, come on back home. You will remember all the things that he once taught you. Would you say amen out there? Our children who have left the church, you better read Jeremiah chapter 31, 36. They will come back to their borders. Number two, the Holy Spirit speaks to God. The Holy Spirit rather speaks to God, yes, through Christ for us. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Why? Because we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sounds like the seven thunders of Revelation, doesn't it? I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to pray? The Holy Spirit takes my prayer, and he presents it to God through Jesus. Amen? And he says, here's Rocky, Father God. He is, well, I won't finish that. But I want you to know him, Lord. Here he is. Okay, number three, the Holy Spirit searches. Oh, I had another text on that, didn't I? Yeah, I have a hard time. That's a little bit distant for me to see. I better get more stronger glasses, right? The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. What do I mean by that? Help me out, church. The Holy Spirit searches my heart. How can you explain that? What does he do? Whoops. I went to pull that off. That was a mistake, wasn't it? I'm not very good with can you fix me up here? I like to preach down front if you want to know the truth, because I want to see you revived. There you go. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. This is a good first Sabbath, isn't it, huh? It is a great Sabbath. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. What do I mean by that? If the Holy Spirit is God, he's the Spirit of God, he is God, the third person of the divine Trinity, then he knows what God says and he knows how I feel. Is that amazing? The Holy Spirit lives where? Oh my, would you want to live in somebody like you and me? He does. I was talking to an atheist one day. She said, I don't believe in God. I said, are you an atheist, agnostic? She said, call it what you want. I don't believe in God. And I said, oh, yes, you do. She said, I do not. I ought to know what I believe. I said, you do believe in God. She said, well, explain to me how I believe in God. I asked her, do you know the difference between right and wrong? She said, yes. I said, who told you that? She said, well, my mother told me that, and my father. Well, who told them? Well, I don't know who told them. They picked it up somewhere. I said, well, the Bible says only God is good. And I said, here's another one for you. Do you hear a little voice in your head talking to you, saying to you, don't do it? Or God wants you to do that? She said, of course I hear a voice. I said, well, who do you think gave it to you? She said, you mean I have a conscience that's given by God? I said, hallelujah, Lord, she got it. She said, I really do believe in God. I said, you do. She said, hallelujah, I believe in God. Say it with me. I believe in God. Amen. Searches our hearts. Number four. Wait a minute. I can't. I know it. Now, I just read that, honey. He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. Number four, the Holy Spirit stays with us as we serve Christ. I want you to catch this now, because there are people that believe in your life there are certain places you can go or certain things you can do, and then you commit the unpardonable sin. What is the unpardonable sin? Help me out here. Come on, you speak up. Let me hear you. What is it? Not asking for forgiveness. Unconfessed sin. The Bible says you can grieve the Holy Spirit when you push him away and you keep him away. You don't want him anymore in your own life. But very few have done that. A young man came running up to me after an evangelistic meeting. He said, "Elder Gale, I have committed the unpardonable sin." I said, "No, you have not." He said, "Yes, I have." I said, "You have not. You wouldn't even be coming up here talking to me if you had." He said, "I haven't." I said, "No." That guy was a new man after that. Oh, amen, amen. Listen to John 17:15. "I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should" what? You know what that says to those who believe in the rapture? I shared that with a Baptist pastor. The word used is terrain ek. It does not mean take you out of the world. It means guard you while you're in the world. Amen? You're going to get comfortable with me. Give me a couple of Sabbaths up here, and you're going to say, "Glory, hallelujah, we are on a journey to meet God." Amen. All right, number 5. The Holy Spirit pours out his power, giving us the ability to give the loud cry. What is a loud cry? The illumination of his glory equals the latter rain to give the loud cry. Ellen White says that, illumination of his glory. They're called, it's, you know, the latter rain is called a grace gift. You've already born again. You know Jesus, and you realize there are some things you've held on to in your life that you know you need to surrender. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Say it. I know. You know. And the Lord says, you need to surrender this. You need to give this to Jesus now. And you begin to give things you never dreamed of, and you're growing and growing. All of a sudden, you know, everybody you meet, you're on fire. You know, at the end of this world, when the latter rain falls, she said there will be church members who will say, "This is not from God. We've been in the church our whole life. We should know." You know what she said? God will bypass leaders in the church. He's going to use humble people. How many of you are humble? That's what he's going to do. He's not looking for people merely talk about what they believe. We've done that long enough. Have we not done that long enough? I remember my father saying, you know, "I hope I'm ready." Well, if you hope you're ready, we're in bad shape, because either we are ready or we are not. And we have, if we have the Holy Spirit in our life, I'm ready. Say amen to that. Amen. And that kind of pushes me to this text in number 5. "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory." That's the fourth angel. Did you know in Solomon's temple, there were not two angels, there were four? Around the throne of God, there are how many creatures? Four. Guardians of the throne. If you'd like to see that from the Bible, I'll show you too when I'm done. Four angels in the most holy place. Number 5, "I will pour out my spirit." I love that. He will pour out his spirit on us. And number 6, this is one you need to really read with me. He seals us with the gospel seal. And I think what I'm going to do is I may stop here, depending on you. If you want me to keep going, I'll finish the whole sermon. If you want, I'll cut it short and finish it next week, but it's up to you. But here's the point I want you to see. He seals us with the gospel seal. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to catch this. Ephesians chapter 1. What a wonderful book Ephesians is. Chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 13 and verse 14. You have it there? Carl, why don't you read that to me, my brother? I like to involve the whole church, you know? Yeah. 13 of chapter 1 and 14.
his glory.
All right. Now, let me give you a little New King James here. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until when? When is the redemption? When? At the coming of Jesus. So the gospel seal means I'm already sealed. My name is in the Lamb's book of life until the redemption. Did you catch that? Look at Romans. I'll give you another verse while we're here. Romans 8:23. Please turn back to that. Romans 8:23, and look at this. Romans 8 and verse 23. You know, when I first saw this, dear people, it was so beautiful. 8:23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's the down payment of the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the what? The redemption of our body. So the redemption is when we're the dead are resurrected from their grave. So I have the gospel seal until when? Until now? I'm done? Until when? All the way to the second coming of Jesus. How many of you knew that? Carl did. Oh, you say, I need another text. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I believe my wife has, she's got 13 and 14 up there, and she does a wonderful job on these. I'm telling you, and I know she's going to be frustrated with me because she likes things done well. That's why I look at her every Sabbath morning. How do I look? She'll say, you look good. How many times do you want to hear it? All right. And do not, verse 30, grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of what? And how can you grieve the Holy Spirit? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking of one another. Stop it. Don't do it. Amen. I'm your new pastor. I don't want to know about who's acting like a Jezebel in the church. I don't want to know any of that. I don't want to know the bad things. I want to just know you. We're starting from ground zero. Isn't that good? Amen. I want to be your friend. I want to help you. That's what I want. Well, I guess since we heard no response, I'll move on. How's that? All right, now listen to this. Here's a summary of John chapter 16, 8 through 11. John 16, 8 through 11. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And let me go through this with you briefly. By the way, I have to have notes. If I didn't, I'd go off track and I'd be talking to you about everything. I'd preach a two-hour sermon here. When you think of what the Holy Spirit's duty, sin, righteousness, and what else? Judgment. Those three things. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. He convicts of sin. Listen, John 16, 9, as I read it to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe he's all sufficient? If you don't, you're denying the promises of God. The point is, sin has to do with our relationship with Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to let us know when we are wandering away from God. Number two, righteousness. Righteousness, because I go to the Father, you see me no more. That's why the Holy Spirit takes the righteousness of Jesus and puts it in my heart. Amen? I love that. Once I'm accepted by Christ as my Savior and Lord, he brings assurance. Judgment. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is cast down. When Jesus was crucified, Satan was defeated. You remember the story, don't you, of David and Goliath? David was just a little shepherd boy. And Saul tried to put his armor on him, and he couldn't wear it. David defied Goliath, who was 9 feet tall, 9 to 11 feet tall. And he said, Goliath looked at him, you come with a sling and a stone. And I can hear David now, you don't know how good I am with this man. He took that stone and he hit him in the forehead. He killed him. Then what did David do? He ran down the valley at Brook Kidron, up the other side. He took the Goliath sword and he cut off his head. That's what Jesus did at the cross, Hebrews 2:14. He destroyed Satan, who had power over death. The book of Joel says some things are about to take place. We're living in the last days, just before the coming of Jesus. And I'm going to give you four slides from each stand, and we're going to move. We're almost done. Anyway, please bear with me. This is on the book of Joel. You can give me the next slide, honey. There it is. Holy Spirit in the last days. Okay, go ahead. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons. This is Joel talking. And your daughters shall prophesy. Your men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my manservant and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be darkened, turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, and in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Now, here's Peter's application of that. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Peter is preaching his Pentecostal sermon. And by the way, Pentecost came in the Old Testament, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover lamb. Jesus was slain, and 50 days later, the Holy Spirit came at, it was Pentecost. It was called the wave sheaf offering. What did Jesus do when he died on the cross? When he came forth on Sunday morning, he resurrected a few and took them to heaven. A wave sheaf offering of those of us who have died in the faith. And he took them to heaven, and he waved them before God the Father. I happen to believe there are 24 elders of those. And at the end of time, Pentecost is going to follow the uplifting of the everlasting gospel. Continue here. Pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. On men servants, on maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How did you catch that? Whoever calls. Here's Peter's application quickly. I'll look at it with you. He applies this. This is Peter's application of Joel's prophecy. He establishes that the last days began in his day. Hebrews 1:3 says that. But we're not living in the last days, we're living in the end of time. He says that what was promised to Joel has occurred. However, this great and awesome day of the Lord has yet to occur. Peter, in veiled description, tells us in Acts 3:19 of a future refreshing of the Lord. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. What's the Lord's answer? Where is the Lord? Where is he now? In the heavenly sanctuary. Are you with me? He's in the heavenly sanctuary. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 8. Joel has another portion of prophetic prophecy we need to look at. There in Joel, a promise of both a former reign and a latter reign. Joel 2:23. Be glad therein, children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former and what? Reign and faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down upon you. I love that. The former reign and what? The latter rain. Former rain begins the harvest. The latter rain ripens the harvest. When I look at where we are, I had a chance to talk to Dr. Norman Gulley before he died. And Carl, you knew Norman. Yeah. He would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I remember going over there visiting with him. I'm going to come down because I'm going to talk to you. Oh, we have a couple of things I want you to see. Right here. The purpose of the rain is to ripen the harvest. Would you say amen to that? The early rain occurred in the fall of the year, while the latter occurred in the spring. Let us pursue the Lord, the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, Hosea 6:3. Oh, what a beautiful thought. And then we have some quotes here. At that time, the latter rain and refreshing from the presence of the Lord will come to give power to the loud voice of the third angel and prepare the saints to stand in the period when the seven last plagues shall be poured out. Early writings. It is the latter rain which revives and strengthens them to pass through the time of trouble. Their faces will shine with the glory of that light which attends the third angel. The work will be similar to that of the day of Pentecost. As the former rain was given in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the opening of the gospel to cause the upspringing of the precious seed, so the latter rain will be given at its close for the ripening of the harvest. Oh, amen. Amen. Well, here we are. I'm going to come down and visit you now as a church. I can't believe you're my church at my age, coming back in and having a church. But you're beautiful people. I loved you. My wife and I did when we first visited here. We really did. I'm reminded of a story of a man who worked in New York City. And he used to drive his car in. He was a high-powered attorney. He would drive his car in, park it, go to work. He only lived a couple of blocks away from where he worked. And he would drive his car home. Drive his car in and drive his car home. And then he got to thinking, here's the park. It's beautiful. I'll leave my car. I'm going to walk home. Have you with me so far? So, he's walking home when he heard a scream from a young woman. Screaming, help me, help me. He's going to kill me, help me. He stopped dead and he said, listen, to himself, I'm a coward, I'm not a fighter. If I go over there, I may get killed. And what good will I be? Maybe I could just go on and send somebody else. And then he sensed that this girl was losing her breath. Help me. Please, help me. So he stopped, and he ran up by this big old oak tree, and this man was attempting to rape this young woman. He grabbed him, and he threw him off. He said, I never thought I had such strength. And then he heard from behind the tree, as he said first, are you all right, young lady? She said, Daddy? Daddy, is that you? I walked here to your office so that we could walk home together. You say, I don't want to get involved. I'm going to keep my own life. I want it to be stable. I want a short sermon. I want to be able to go home. I want to enjoy myself. Well, what if your own family is going to die? Are you willing to stand up to God and say, God, you can depend on me. I'm going to finish this race. I thank you for the gospel seal. And I'm not afraid of the future because I can trust you with my whole heart. I want to invite you to come up front with me. Come up front with me and join me so I can pray with you. I want to invite you to come up. We'll stand here, and I want to pray with you. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to be with you, to bless you. God bless you, my brother. Thank you.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah. Again, I want to thank my wife. You know, she did a beautiful job with these slides, and I just couldn't see very good. That's my problem. I need stronger glasses, right? That's what it is. I want to thank you. Come on right up here. You're my church family now. You are stuck with me, like it or not, you know. I've already been sworn in. Come on up here. I want you to press right up here. We're going to pray now. We're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in your life. You are very blessed with Dennis as a head elder. You are. I'm going to ask Dennis to pray, and then I'm going to pray. Would you pray for us, Dennis?
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for every single member of this church.
Oh, amen, Father.
Thank you, Father, that we can work as a team in spreading your love to others. Thank you so much for Pastor Rocky Gale being here as our spiritual leader and as our shepherd. Father. We've just been so looking forward to this, and we pray that you'll give him strength and courage and wisdom to be able to rightly work with this church and help us all now that we can spread God's love to our community, to our families, to our friends, and that we can bring people in and let them know that you love them and what you've done for them. Thank you that we can all be a wonderful family together in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, thank you. Thank you for this church. This is only beginning, Father, with us. We have a mandate from you to reach this community. You and Jesus are coming soon, Father. All heaven will be emptied. Silence in heaven. And you're going to take us home. Just over the mountain in the promised land lies a city built by God's own hand. That's where we're going, Father. We're ready. No trouble in the light of Calvary can overcome us. Bless us. Bless this church, I pray. And go with those who have come forward. Help us to grow together in grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you for being here today. I look out and I'd be preaching to myself.
Oh, beautiful.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, man. I'm so glad to have you here. What?
Shall we stand for the cloak?
A charm. There we are. Let's everybody stand up and we'll have our closing hymn and then we'll have the benediction.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord.